Welcome to the Old Time Radio Corner. I'm Dan Hughes. Vic and Sade was one of the strangest shows on radio. It was a bizarre, surrealistic comedy that aired during soap opera hours, so the vast majority of adults who worked during the day never heard the program. It was an acquired taste, and the more you listened, the funnier it got. Victor Gook worked for a company that made tableware, and he was the exalted Big Dipper in a strange lodge called the Sacred Stars of the Milky Way. His wife, Sade, was always running to wash rag sales at the downtown department store. Their stepson, Rush, often spoke of his school chums, Bluetooth Johnson and Smelly Clark. And lovable Uncle Fletcher was beyond strange. These four characters were the only actors who appeared on the show in its original run from 1932 to 1942. But through their conversations, which all took place in the Gook home, known as the small house halfway up in the next block, they made you feel that you personally knew all of the strange citizens of their unnamed central Illinois town. Vic and Sade was created and written by Paul Reimer, who was often called a latter-day Mark Twain. Reimer was a native of Bloomington, Illinois, and the stories often mention towns near Bloomington. The Gook home is on Virginia Avenue, and Reimer grew up on Virginia Avenue in Bloomington. Sadly, most of the Vic and Sade shows were destroyed when the sponsor, Procter & Gamble, decided they needed more room in their warehouse, and they threw away hundreds of the original recorded transcripts. But fans of the show listen avidly to what is available, and though many of the programs we have now are full of static and dropouts, the unique and bizarre humor of Vic and Sade still comes through loud and clear. The program ran like a soap opera, 15 minutes a day, Monday through Friday in the early afternoon. I've put together three random clips from 1940 and 1941 for your listening pleasure. And now, let's listen to radio's home folks, Vic and Sade.
And now, get ready to smile again with radio's home folks, Chris Goes, Vic and Sade. Well, sir, it's late in the afternoon as we approach the small house, halfway up the next block now, and here in the living room we find Mrs. Victor Gook all by herself. Mrs. Gook is established in her husband's easy chair, her sewing basket in her lap. We're untutored in such matters, but we're inclined to believe she's embroidering initials on napkins. However, we're probably mistaken because... wait a minute, here's a voice, Miss...
Mom, hey, don't you be coming in that front door with your muddy feet.
I'm not.
Go around to the back.
I ain't coming in at all. What you doing?
Sewing.
Why don't you come outside? Rain's over. Sun's shining now.
Well, don't stand there holding the door open.
Nice out.
Is it?
Sure is. Run out in the porch.
Oh, I'm busy.
It's real swell out. Bring your sewing and come sit in the swing.
Any mail in the box?
No. You coming?
Well, I might as well take a look at this sunshine you're talking about.
No fooling, it's warm as toast.
What time is it?
Not quite 3 o'clock.
Well, wait till I get my sweater.
Oh, you won't need your sweater, Mom.
Certainly will.
No.
Well, I'm going to put it on just the same.
This is August, Mom.
August, when it pays a person to watch their step. Air is cram-packed full of sickness.
That's what you say about every month in the year. Take it in spring, summer, fall, or winter. You always tell how the air is cramped.
Well, let's go for going.
Let's take advantage of the porch swing while we can.
Why?
Because the porch swing season is short and won't be long before we'll be taking it down and putting it in the basement.
Close the door.
It'll stay there till next year.
Say, it is warm.
What'd I tell you?
It wasn't anywhere near like this noon.
The mountain has been climbing steadily up the ladder all day.
Well, that's nice paper stated rise in temperatures, but I never expected this much of a change.
Me neither. Have a seat.
This is getting to be an awful junky-looking porch swing.
Next year we can slap on a coat of paint.
Well, we'll probably buy a new one. Half the slats on it are loose.
You and me and Gov are the types of individuals that give a porch swing rough treatment.
You mean you're the type of individuals that gives a porch swing rough treatment? Me and Gov don't invite our friends over to hang by their heels on it.
I suppose you refer to Smelly Clark.
I refer to the whole bunch of you.
I guess I have to admit I belong to a pretty red-blooded active set of fellas. My arteries pump away with energy.
And Mr. Kreider.
Uh-huh.
Got his little quarter's worth of steak from Croucher's Meat Market.
How do you know?
He gets a little quarter's worth of steak every evening. Cooks it himself and eats it himself.
Pay him to buy it in the bulk. Makes me think of a scheme as figured out by Rooster Davis. He's going to go in the restaurant business, see? Specializing in bacon sandwiches. Selling nothing but bacon sandwiches. Mm-hmm. On the corner of Jefferson and Main Street.
Oh, go ahead and tell what you're going to tell. Don't just say one sentence at a time and then wait till I answer. Miss Elder's got that habit. Gives the person the willies.
Eugene Partlow's got the worst habit I know of. He'll strike up a conversation with you and tell a story or something, and then won't give you a chance to tell a story.
Miss Apparat will do that, too.
The other day I saw Eugene in Tapman's vacant lot.
There goes Mr. Clark.
Uh-huh.
He's got his little umbrella up.
Wonder why. The rain stopped.
Well, he carries it to keep off the sun. He had sunstroke one time and's been scared of it ever since.
Yeah?
He always wears tennis shoes on account of that, too.
Because he got sunstroke?
Uh-huh. When he was a young man working on a farm, he keeled over from the heat. Affected his ankle some way. Had to wear tennis shoes ever since to be comfortable.
Funny place to get sunstroke, and ankles.
Yeah, but that's the way it is.
Pretty nice sitting here in the porch swing, huh?
Lovely day, all right.
Ain't you glad I called you out?
Never was so happy in my life.
Thought you'd pass a sarcastic remark, huh?
Yeah.
Well, it's okay. I like to see a streak of fun in an individual's makeup. The way I look at it, an American citizen ought to always... Huh?
Miss Simmons turning off on Kelsey.
Uh-huh.
She's got her little girl.
Oh, I was telling you about Eugene Partlow and how he won't give you a chance in the conversation. The other day I got talking with him up in Tapman's vacant lot, and he whipped out a story concerning a big fish as caught by his Uncle Verniel. When he got through and I said, that's fine, I started to tell about a big fish. But do you think he'd let me? No, sir, he plowed right ahead with a story about another big fish as caught by his Uncle Hook.
Oh, that's Miss Apparat to a T. And if a person does get a word in edgeways, she don't listen.
Uh-huh.
You can tell by the expression on her face. She's just waiting for you to get through so she can go ahead again.
Uh-huh.
Guess I don't really need this sweater at that.
Should I help you slip it off?
No, I'm going to leave it on. People shouldn't take chances in August. The air seems balmy, but you can't ever tell. Take our next-door neighbor there in Dixon, Mr. Slither. He went out one morning to get the newspaper in his undershirt. Come back in the house. Give a sneeze, went to bed, and stayed there for 6 weeks.
Mm-hmm.
Wasn't the least bit funny. They were poor people, and he did piecework in a foundry, and I remember that sick spell ate up everything they had in the bank. My mother used to take hot dishes over a lot.
No, that sure was quick work. Just give one sneeze, and then went to bed.
Yeah.
Are you sure somebody didn't shoot him in the head with a revolver?
Things like that ain't to be joked about, son. There goes Mr. Ruggers.
Got his little rake to rake the leaves with.
When are you going to get at our leaves?
Oh, Saturday, maybe.
Yes, and on Saturday you'll come around with monstrous big plans about 9 innings of baseball over in Tapman's vacant lot, and the leaves will stay right where they are.
I think maybe I can arrange my schedule so I'll have a few minutes to devote to raking.
Take a lot more than a few minutes.
Well, we'll see.
I'll say we will.
Years back, in my younger days, I used to get quite a kick out of autumn leaves. I used to enjoy running through them.
Oh, Aunt Beth and I used to do that. One day we were running through piles of leaves, and Aunt Beth tripped over a pig that was asleep in one of them.
Oh, I didn't finish telling you. Go ahead.
You didn't finish what?
Telling you about Rooster and the bacon sandwiches. But go ahead with your story. Aunt Beth tripped over a pig, huh?
Yeah.
What happened?
Well, that was all. She fell down and was scared, and the pig ran away squealing.
They tell me pigs will eat people.
Yes, I understand they will.
Be a very miserable way to die, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
Kind of embarrassing.
Uh-huh.
Newspapers state Mr. Ray Johnson of this city passed away yesterday as a result of being ate by a pig.
Oh, Raj, for goodness sake.
Well,
ain't that the little Rogers girl across the street?
It's one of them.
She's got her tam o' shanter on.
Uh-huh. Certainly a swell day, ain't it, boy?
Yeah. By tonight, there might be a thunderstorm come up.
I doubt it.
You can't ever tell about August weather that way. Why, one time there in Dixon, it come up a hailstorm so big that the whole town was covered with hail a foot deep. I remember...
Oh, I never told you.
Huh?
I still haven't told you about Rooster Davis and the bacon sandwiches.
Well, tell it.
Go ahead with what you were telling.
Well, that's all there was to it. One time in Dixon, during what looked like a calm summer day, it come up a hailstorm to where the ground was covered a foot deep.
Very remarkable.
What about Rooster and the sandwiches?
He's going to start a restaurant.
Uh-huh.
In this restaurant, he's going to sell nothing but bacon sandwiches.
Huh.
Going to deal in bacon sandwiches exclusively.
Hmm.
Restaurant's going to be right downtown.
Yeah.
Corner of Main and Jefferson Streets.
Oh, there you go again.
How do you mean?
Well, instead of telling a thing and finishing it, you just say one sentence at a time and make a person answer.
Oh.
What about Rooster and his bacon sandwiches?
Well, he's going to have a live pig out in back of the restaurant, see?
Uh-huh.
And whenever a customer comes in and orders a bacon sandwich, Rooster steps outdoors with a knife and cuts off a piece of bacon.
Cuts it off the pig?
Sure. All bacon comes from pigs.
Well, I know that, foolish. What's the point?
The point is that the pig's alive.
Well?
The pig is given ether and chloroform so it won't hurt. A chunk of bacon is removed. A trained nurse steps forward and nurses the pig back to health and strength. He eats his dinner and gets fat, making more bacon. Another customer wants a sandwich, so Rooster again puts his pig to sleep with ether and chloroform and again cuts off a chunk. Sure. See, all you need is one pig. He don't lead a very gay life of it, what with being stabbed every little
while. Ish.
Huh?
Ish.
Okay.
Here comes Mr. Foster on his bicycle.
Uh-huh.
He's got his dinner bucket tied to his handlebars.
Yeah.
Well, I'm going in the house.
Oh, why, Mom?
Oh, I got things to do.
Well, it's been a pleasant chat.
Yeah.
Which concludes another brief interlude at the small house halfway up in the next block. And there we leave Crisco's Vic and Said until tomorrow.
Well, sir, it's late afternoon as we enter the small house halfway up in the next block now. And here in the living room, we find Mr. Victor Cook and young Mr. Rush Cook. The former has just arrived home from the office and is listening with great absorption to a recital of recent events as narrated by his son.
He said these five fellas in Hunkerman, Maine were very anxious to meet you. He said they'd all be greatly honored if you'd make the trip.
Where was McDancy telephoning from?
Well, I don't know. East Brain, Oregon, I suppose. Ain't that where he lives?
Yeah.
It was a long-distance call, I know.
How could you tell?
When I picked up the receiver, somebody asked if this was the Gook residence, and I said yes, and then they said, here's your party.
Uh-huh.
That proves it's long-distance.
Uh-huh.
I expect we talked 5 minutes or better. I even took notes. Here's a list of the five fellas that are so anxious to meet you.
Why do they want to meet me?
They've heard so much about you.
Where did they hear so much about me?
Mr. McDancy never said.
Well, I can't make head or tails to this.
Well, here's the five names. Ollie J. York, V. Donald Gix, Q. L. Cunningham, T. S. Lank, and Urquhart Pugh Urquhart.
Never heard of a darn one of them.
According to Mr. McDancy, they'd all give the shirt off their back to shake you by the hand and make your acquaintance.
Hi.
Everybody home?
Yeah. When's McDancy want me to make this trip?
September 20th.
He say anything about expenses?
Yes. He said you'd have to pay him yourself.
Well, thunder.
Hi, audio people.
Greetings, ma'am.
Hello, say.
Hello. You want to hear some wild, crazy little gossip?
Yeah.
I've been over to Miss Donahue's just now. The story she had to tell on Miss Elders.
Mm.
You'll throw your shoes over the People's Bank building.
I'm about to do that anyway.
Why? What's the matter?
Hippopotamus here just had a long-distance telephone call from Homer U. McDancy.
The Oregon fellow?
Yeah.
I don't know whether he was calling from Oregon or not. Operator never said. But it was long distance, okay.
What do you want?
Wanted me to travel to Hunkerman, Maine and meet some chums of his.
What for?
Just to be meeting them, I guess. Describe the conversation, George.
Well, I was sitting here looking over the Third Lieutenant Stanley book I borrowed off from Vernon Peggle. It starts out very interesting. Seems Lady Margaret and Third Lieutenant Stanley are in the power of a gang of counterfeit and deep sea divers.
We don't want a book report, Alice. Please skip the literary embroidery and get down
to
work.
Well, phone rang. I rose from my chair to answer it, thinking it was Bluetooth Johnson or Leland Richards or Rooster Davis or Leroy Snow.
Okay, friend. I'll take over. Homer U. McDancy was on the wire. He tried to reach Smith's office, and I wasn't there, so he called home. Not find me at home either, he left his message with Stone Blues. And his message, from what I gather, is that he'd like to have me travel to Hunkerman, Maine, and meet these five pals of his.
Who are they?
Read them off, Laura.
Ollie J. York, V. Donald Gix, Q. L. Cunningham, T. S. Lang, and Urquhart Pugh Urquhart.
Well, are they anybody you've met before?
No, not a single name is familiar.
What's the idea of it?
Search me.
Well, the idea of it, according to Mr. McDancy, is that these five guys are just dying to make Gov's acquaintance.
Why?
They've heard so much about him.
Do they live in Maine?
Yeah.
Well, how'd they be likely to hear anything about you in Maine?
I don't know.
Are they lodge fellas? Sacred Stars of the Milky Way guys?
No, they're not.
They're not?
No, because I asked Mr. McDancy.
Are they Consolidated Kitchenware Company men?
No.
You asked McDancy that question, too?
Uh-huh.
Well, it don't make sense.
certainly don't to me.
How'd you get so famous in the state of Maine, Gov?
I'd like to know myself.
According to Mr. McDancy, these five guys are just chewing their fingernails. They're so feverish to make your acquaintance.
Well, where in thunder did they hear of me? I've never been to Maine. I doubt if they could have heard of me through McDancy because he lives in Oregon. I don't think he's ever been either. Of course, if they were Sky Brothers in the Sacred Stars of the Milky Way, they might have read about me in the Lodge magazine. But you say they're not?
No, I asked especially.
And if they were employed by the Consolidated Kitchenware Company, they might have read about me in the Kitchenware Dealers Quarterly.
They're not employed there.
Read off those half-wit names again.
Ollie J. Yaw, V. Donald Gix, Q.L.
Cunningham. Wait a minute. Read them still slower than that.
Ollie J. Yaw, V. Donald Gix, Q.L. Cunningham, T.S. Lank, Urquhart Pugh Urquhart.
No.
Urquhart is Miss Scott's brother's name.
He's not a state of Maine slob, is he?
State of Iowa slob. Hmm. Well, you're not going to go on any such a foolish expedition, are you?
I doubt it.
What it probably boils down to is Homer U. McDancy is addled in the head like that H.K. Fleaver chum of yours.
Ah.
I'll tell you the funny little gossips about Miss Elders.
All right.
Craziest business. Mm. Her and Mrs. Call had a quarrel. Mm. And here's what happened. They were sitting in Miss Elders' living room. They got in this argument, and the argument got, quite bitter, I guess. Very harsh remarks was exchanged. Well, sir, Miss Elders has a temper that'll choke a horse. Mm. She rose from her chair and said, I believe I will get my hat and leave, Miss Call. I feel that quite enough has been said. And she marched out of the room, into the hallway, slammed her hat on her head and went outdoors.
Yeah.
I bet you don't catch on to what's comical.
There's something comical?
Do you catch on to what's comical, Rush?
No.
She got up and marched out of her own house. See, it was Miss Elder's living room they were sitting in.
Oh.
She marched out of her own house. It was excitement, I guess, made her do it. She must have let herself get the impression she was in Miss Call's living room. Anyway, she found herself out on the street with her hat on and no place to go. And you know what that dickens of a Miss Call done?
What?
Stayed inside. Stayed inside. Oh, for maybe 10 minutes. I think that's the funniest thing I ever heard of. Miss Call told Miss Donahue, and Miss Donahue told me. We just howled. I believe I'm going to get my hat and leave, Miss Call. I feel that quite enough has been said. And she went striding and snorting out of her own house, never realizing. Oh, boy, I call that rich.
McDancy, say anything else over the phone that might give us a clue to this mystery?
Well, I think I've told you the entire conversation.
That's so incredible. Why would there be five guys in the state of Maine anxious to meet me?
Couldn't say.
And even if there were five guys in the state of Maine anxious to meet me, why would Homer U. McDancy spend money on a long-distance telephone call to ask me to pay my expenses clear across the continent to meet them?
Couldn't say.
I bet Homer U. McDancy's on the H.K. Fleaver order. Not all there in the upper story.
Oh.
Sounds to me like an ambush.
Ambush?
Yeah. Homer U. McDancy might have turned crook. He's trying to coax you away from home way off there in Maine. Once he gets you in Maine, he'll steal your watch and pocketbook.
Oh, bosh.
For one thing, these names look fictitious. Ollie J. York. I call that fictitious as a horse. V. Donald Gick. Fictitious as a horse. Q. L. Cunningham.
Fictitious as a horse.
Sure. And also T. S. Lank and Urquhart Pugh Urquhart.
Fictitious as a horse.
Darn right.
Awful, awful funny, huh, Vic, about Miss Elders?
Yeah.
Found myself out on the sidewalk with no place to go. Got so excited with her quick temper and all, she was under the impression she was marching out of Miss Call's living room. Oh, boy, I call that rich. Well, hey, here, I better trot out and see about supper.
Need groceries from the store, ma'am?
No, I'll have to investigate the pantry and see.
Oh.
Better not trot off any place till I make certain.
Okay.
I don't suppose there could be five guys in the state of Maine that had heard so much about me they wanted to meet me.
Huh?
You?
Gee, I wouldn't know that.
No.
Huh?
Be impossible.
Huh?
Shucks. Hmm? Read off the names again.
Names of guys that are dying to shake you by the hand and make your personal acquaintance?
Yeah.
Ollie J. York, V. Donald Gix, Q. L. Cunningham, D. S. Lank, and Urquhart Pugh Urquhart.
And now, get ready to smile again with Radio's Home Folks, Vic and Sade. Well, sir, it's about 8 o'clock in the evening as we enter the small house halfway up in the next block now. And here in the living room, we find Mrs. Victor Cook and her uncle, Mr. Fletcher Rush. Uncle Fletcher dropped in only a moment ago, and his niece is saying to him...
How nice of Miss Keller to make the suggestion.
Uh-huh.
Thoughtful of her, too.
Fine landlady.
You bet she is.
No, I sent to her. Miss Keller, a brave will telephone with niece Bessie and Carberry long distance to have a little chat. See, Bessie's written me several times recently, and I've been kind of careless and forgetful and haven't answered. So I thought I'd call her long distance and make up for it.
Sure. Dandy idea.
Miss Keller, I said, I believe I'll telephone my niece, Bessie, and Carberry long distance, have a little chat. Right off the bat, she said, why don't you go over to Sadie's house and do it? Then her family can say hello.
Next time I see Miss Keller, I'm going to thank her.
Fine. How do I get a hold of Bessie now? Do I tell Central I want to get connected
well,
up
just
with...
just a second, Uncle Fletcher. I bet Dick and Rush would like to be in on this.
Say who?
Dick's down cellar and Rush is upstairs.
Fine.
Oh, Willie.
We can all speak to Bessie.
Yeah, Rush. We got lovely company.
Hello, Rush.
Hi. Be right down.
Do I tell Central I want to be connected with Carberry, Illinois?
Want me to do it?
I'll do it.
All right. Bess will be surprised as Robinson Crusoe.
We can all talk to Walter, too, and you'll see.
Sure.
Who's doing all the hiring?
Uncle Fletcher's here.
Evening, Vic.
Thank you.
One thing, Sadie.
Yes?
I pay.
Oh, that won't be necessary.
I pay. When you get your telephone bell, tell me what I owe.
All right.
How are you, Uncle Fletcher?
First rate, Rush.
Uncle Fletcher's going to call up Aunt Bess.
Oh, really? I'm going to call up Bessie, Vic.
Good.
We can all say hello.
You bet.
Say hello to Walter and you'll see, too.
Uh-huh.
It was Miss Keller's idea.
Fine.
Bess has written several times, and Uncle Fletcher's been busy, I guess, and hasn't answered. So he decided to make a lovely long-distance call. Miss Keller said, why didn't he do it here at our house, and we could all talk.
Miss Keller is a gentleman and a scholar.
Very sweet of her to make the suggestion.
Want me to get Carberry for you, Uncle Fletcher?
Fine. All right, here goes. At the Tell Central, I want Carberry, Illinois, huh?
Well, no, you don't.
There's no switchboard in Carberry. You get Freeport and tell the Freeport operator you want number 18 in Carberry.
Yeah.
Maybe one of us better do it.
There are several separate and distinct steps to it.
Fine. Freeport, huh?
I'll get you connected in a jiffy.
Long-distance telephone calls are hardly the thing for little boys, Rush, but let me handle it.
Okay.
I'll let you call up somebody sometime.
All right.
Freeport, Illinois, Sadie?
First, you get the operator and ask
for long distance. And tell her you want to speak to number 18. She'll connect you with
her. Oh, you don't do any such a half-wit thing. You ask for Freeport, Illinois, and tell the Freeport operator...
Well, that's what I mean. You get a hold of long distance
and answer. Oh, let me do it. I telephoned Bess long distance 1,000 times. You'll have Uncle Fletcher so confused, he won't know where he's at.
Freeport, Illinois, Sadie.
Here's what you do. When you pick up the receiver, tell the girl you want long distance. Pretty soon, somebody will say long distance, and you tell him you want the operator in Freeport, Illinois. She'll ask you to hang up, and she'll ring you back. Then you wait for the phone to ring, and when it does, it'll be the Freeport girl, and you say you want number 18 in Carberry.
No.
I've called Bess.
Well, the local operator don't tell you to ring your bag.
The local operator don't tell you to ring
your bag. One at a time. I know what I'm doing, Vic. I've called Bess.
Well, you've certainly done it the hard way.
Maybe I just better ask Central to connect me up with...
Look, say, excuse me, Uncle Frederick. The local long-distance operator will get you the Freeport operator immediately. She's the one that tells you to hang up. Our operator don't tell you to hang up. Now, here's what you do.
No.
No.
Huh? Mine's right and we're wrong.
Well, of course. I've called Bess.
Why don't I just call Bess?
Well, but if it was the local operator.
Everybody talking at once and interrupting our company, too. I'm sorry, Uncle Fletcher.
Fine.
Mom, your explanation a minute ago was okay, but you left out one single little step.
Oh, I did, huh?
Here's what you do. You tell the local operator you want long distance. When the long-distance operator gets on the wire, you tell her you want Freeport, Illinois. And you also tell her you want the Freeport operator to call number 18 in Carberry. Then you're told to hang up and wait. And it's the local operator that does the telling.
That's exactly what I told Uncle Fletcher.
No. You told Uncle Fletcher to ask the Freeport operator to get number 18.
You told Uncle Fletcher to ask the
Freeport
operator.
Oh, my God.
I'll just pick up the receiver here and tell Central.
Tell Central you want long-distance.
Fine.
In a second or two, there'll be a voice say long distance. You say you're calling Freeport, Illinois. She'll tell you to hang up a little bit, and she'll ring you back. She will, too.
No, say, Rush was right.
Oh, Rush was right now.
Yes. You tell the Freeport operator two things. You tell the Freeport
local operator.
What?
You tell the local operator two things.
I say Freeport. I meant local.
I'm sorry, Uncle Fletcher.
Fine.
You tell a local operator two things.
You tell a local operator two things. Here, Uncle Fletcher, I'll put the call through.
No, I will.
See, I've talked to Bessie lots of times.
I'll get Bessie.
Yes, he's got it right there. He's putting the bill.
Fine.
Well, aren't you all confused?
Uh-huh.
I'm not surprised.
I'll tell Central I want Freeport, Illinois.
Yes, and also tell her you want the Freeport operator to call number 18.
In Carberry, Illinois.
Yes, in Carberry, Illinois.
Oh, goodness.
Go ahead, Uncle Fletcher, do that.
I expect Bussy will answer after a bit.
Sure.
Freeport, Illinois?
Long-distance operator first.
Yeah, long-distance operator first.
Well, you don't even have to ask for the long-distance operator. The person says Freeport, Illinois, the girl appreciates the party, wants to talk to somebody out of town. They haven't got idiots working down there. He'll get the long-distance operator if he asks for Freeport, Illinois.
Here, I'll put it in a nutshell for you, Uncle Fletcher.
Oh, no, you won't either. You'll be quiet.
Suppose the Bussy's home.
Well, that's just a chance you'll have to take.
Walter and Yeltsy home, too, likely, huh?
I imagine they are. Weeknight and all. Of course, they may have gone to bed. All this time, fellas have wasted in chitter-chatter.
Might as well do the thing right.
Pick up the receiver, Uncle Fletcher.
Freeport, Illinois?
Yes. Oh. Freeport, Illinois is fine.
Hello? Freeport, Illinois, please. What? I said Freeport, Illinois. What? Long distance?
Say yes.
Tell her you're
calling
Freeport, Illinois.
Be quiet.
Hello, Central?
Uncle Fletcher, tell her you're calling Freeport, Illinois, long distance.
What?
Tell the girl you're calling Freeport, Illinois, long distance.
I am calling Freeport, Illinois, long distance.
And you want number 18 in Kyber,
Illinois? Call this, please.
Hello, Central? Hello, Central? Hey, you on the other end. Nobody says nothing.
Isn't the operator there?
No.
Jiggle the hook.
Yeah. Nobody says nothing.
Oh, jiggle the hook.
Fine.
Go ahead, jiggle the hook.
Fine.
She's got the answer.
He's not going to jiggle the hook.
I believe I'll go home.
Go home?
Yeah.
And not call, Bessie?
No.
Are you hanging up?
Yes. I believe I'll go home.
But Uncle Fletcher...
I'll telephone Bessie some other time. Huh. Believe I'll go home.
Another brief interlude at the small house halfway up in the next block. And here we leave Vic and Sade until the next time.
Three clips from 1940 and 1941 from Paul Reimer's Vic and Sade. If there are old-time radio programs you remember and would like to hear again, or if you'd just like to talk about the show, please drop me an email at dan@radiofun.info. That's Dan, D-A-N, at radiofun.info. Until next time, from the Old Time Radio Corner, I'm Dan Hughes.